I'll fly a starship across the universe divide. And when I reach the other side, I'll find a place to rest my spirit if I can. Perhaps I may become a highwayman again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. Coming up in about an hour, Dale Jackson, WVNM, makes his weekly or his regular Monday appearance, I should say. From Lanyap Mobile, Rob Holbert will be with us. And we'll wrap it up in the 11 o'clock hour with my friend Scott Buttram for the Trustful Tribune. As I said, 251-343-0106. Text line works best if you want to respond to anything you're hearing on this program. Joining us now on the program, very pleased to bring on my next guest, always very insightful, from formerly the U.S. Attorney for the Northern District of Alabama, Jay Towne, on the line with us. Jay, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thank you for making time. We appreciate it. Let's kick it off here. So I guess earlier this month, another one of these stories where the officer was killed in the line of duty in Bibb County, a sheriff's deputy there. And you go back and look at this gentleman's record that's accused here of the killing, and there's no reason he should have been out on work release. And, I mean, we've already kind of litigated that entire subject. But it just occurs to me that when you see this, it's another one of these on our Alabama Department of Corrections bureaucracy, just letting one slip through the cracks. And I heard you on Dale's show last week talking a little bit about this, but there's got to be – I don't know if the feds are ever going to take over that agency, but I feel like the more these kinds of instances we hear about, the public's going to start getting a little antsy here and demand some kind of action on this agency. I'm convinced it needs some kind of reform.
Well, they should. The public absolutely should. I mean, and it's really two different issues, Jeff. So you have the conditions inside of the male facilities in the state of Alabama, the Department of Corrections, and those conditions are very poor. The Department of Justice has said that they violate the Eighth Amendment. They're so poor. But what we're also talking about is whatever metric ADOC is using to release individuals back to society is not working either. So it's unsafe inside the prisons, and ADOC is making us less safe as citizens outside of the prisons. We need to re-examine whatever metric they're using for release, supervised release, work release, because it is failing public safety. The criminal justice system, it has to function as one unified system. And right now, at least in Alabama, the system is working against itself. And Austin Patrick Hall, who killed Deputy Brad Johnson and shot another deputy, he is yet another example, Jeff, of why the people releasing individuals from ADOC, they should not be considering at all the overcrowded capacity of our state prisons. That's not their job. They have two concerns. Will this person reoffend if they get out early? And have we provided them the anti-recidivist or reentry tools to survive when we send them back out into society? If the answer is no to either one of those, if the answer is maybe to either one of those, then they should stay in. And that is not what's happening at ADOC.
Yeah, well, it's like, and I don't know this to be the case, but I think they're related in this sense that it's as if some of these things that are going on there are still justified by, well, we need to ease the burden, the overcrowding burden. And maybe if we just put somebody out on work release, that makes the burden a little less here and there. So it seems to be connected, but that should never be a consideration, right?
They shouldn't be connected, because do your job. Steve Marshall is a friend of mine, and he is in the middle of the lawsuit with the Department of Justice about overcrowding is just an aspect of the Eighth Amendment violation. You can have more people in the facility and not violate the Eighth Amendment. But the prisons in Alabama are in very poor condition inside as far as safety and health goes. And some of the reporting metrics. But that's not the job of the guy who's doing pre-release and release and supervised release. Keep in mind, Austin Patrick Hall served less than 4 years on a 9-year, 9-month sentence, and he wasn't paroled. He wasn't given supervised release for good time. He was end of sentence, meaning there's nobody even looking at him the day he walked out of prison. And so when he caught 22 more charges, if he had just been on parole or on supervised release, he would have been sent back to prison when he caught charges in two different counties, massing 22 different felony charges. He would have been sent back to prison at that point. But instead, they just cut him loose. And this is the type of thing that should drive the public nuts. I hope that, I mean, the media and the public need to demand that the Department of Corrections tell us why Austin Patrick Hall, what was the metric? What was the decision? I want to see the paperwork that said, yeah, cut this guy loose, right? And I want to know who did it, who made, what group of persons or person did this, all right? And do they still have a job? Are they still in charge? Have they adjusted their metric, their thinking, right? Is their ball cap even on correctly? You know, if it were up to me, this person would be out on the street. They would not be working at ADOC because their judgment is poor. And there's too many of these. You have Brian Lansing Martin, who killed three people up in Sheffield, including Officer Nick Reisner. Jimmy Spencer got out in 2018. He murdered three people, to include a 7-year-old girl. He was sentenced to life, not once, Jeff, but twice. And he was still sent to a halfway house because we're overcrowded. Someone has to answer for this. This can't keep happening.
Well, I guess it begs this question: like, how bad do you have to be not to be eligible? Like, what do you have to do in Alabama if this is the baseline here? Some people just aren't eligible ever. I mean, it's gotta be pretty darn near terrible, right?
Well, people have to understand, Jeff. You're correct that it's really hard to go to prison in the state of Alabama. If you just amass a couple of felonies for narcotics or theft crimes, things like that, you're not going to prison. The 70-80% of everybody who is inside the male prisons in Alabama, they are there for a violent crime. The rest are in there because they're career criminals, like Austin Patrick Hall. And so we have to understand that the people in prison should be in prison. Now, they're going to get out. Almost all of them will have an opportunity to get out. And that's our system. They pay their debt, they get out. But letting them out after, you know, a very minute percentage of the sentence that a prosecutor advocated for, that was probably agreed to in a plea agreement that the judge handed down lawfully, and then ADOC gets to basically have pardon authority over 70 or 80% of that sentence and just cut people back to the wild, no, that's not their job. It's not their place. And, you know, whoever made the decision to let Austin Patrick Hall out of prison and end of sentence needs to take 2 weeks off and then quit.
Joined by U.S. Attorney Jay Towne here on the program, our former U.S. Attorney Jay Towne here on the program. Jay, your assessment of where things are right now? Is there still the threat of a federal judge in a receivership or anything like that? Or do you think that special session of the legislature last year with the new prison construction plan, and then there was, I think, a little bit of tweaking to the sentencing guidelines and what we're going to add mental health facilities to these mega prisons, do you think that it is enough to kind of keep that at bay right now?
No, I don't. I mean, look, it helped. It's just something we need to do. And I've said this for a long time. Kay Ivey, Steve Marshall, the legislators, this is an inherited problem that's been building for four decades. So you can't pin it on anybody who's currently, you know, elected and working in Montgomery right now. But at the same time, all of the prisons, for the most part in the state of Alabama have some real problems. ADOC has some real problems. And so, yes, the Department of Justice is going to continue its lawsuit. Steve has done a good job of keeping DOJ at bay, slowing this process down so that the state can try to catch up, so that there's maybe only five things the state has to do instead of 17. So, he's to be commended for that. But if it, you know, when it finally gets in front of Judge Proctor, who's the federal judge in this case, say Alabama's going to lose. I mean, ADOC's been losing to charities for years, right? The FPLC and others, they've been just whipping ADOC in court for years. That's not going to change when you got professionals in the Civil Rights Division at DOJ. So, yeah, they're going to lose. What's going to happen though is they're not going to release people into society. That's not what judges do. They don't even have the authority to do that. And Judge Proctor's a great judge, but he would agree with that. They're going to send these prisoners to abate the overcrowding. They're going to send them back to county jails. So then county jails are going to be overcrowded. And now we're going to have to make these crazy decisions about bail. Who gets bail? Maybe we no bail certain types of offenses because we can only have 1,000 people in our jail, and we got 1,500 because ADOT sent, you know, 500 back. That's a real problem. That's what happened in California. And California's still a mess. So we have to there's a whole holistic solution to this. There's not one big thing that you could do and just be like, okay, we've solved the problem. It's 20 things. And the quicker the legislature recognizes they're going to lose, the quicker we can get DOJ out of this state and done looking at our correction system, because we should all want a correction system that is constitutional. We all believe in the Constitution, right? It doesn't just stop at the Second Amendment. It goes all the way to 27. So let's all be law-abiding citizens. And when we get to the Eighth Amendment, that has to apply to our prisons as well.
Well, so the knock on it's always been this, right? At least in Alabama. Well, we're a conservative state. Conservatives don't want to spend a bunch of money on prisons. That's never been popular. But I got to be thinking here. I don't know that that's the case. I think people want more prisons in this state. They want more crime, and they want this taken care of. That this isn't the third rail that it's made out to be, because part of a criminal justice system, if you really want public safety, you're going to have to put it in an investment in the Department of Corrections. So like the legislature and the governors over the years that they've struggled with this, because that they're operating on that philosophy that nobody, the public, the voters in this state don't really want it. But I find that prison plan from last year to be kind of underwhelming, and I think that they are underestimating the voters' mentality here, that they really want a strong criminal justice system in the state. Because there's only a few things you want state government to do. Education, roads, and prisons, and our public safety, I should say. And they don't do any of those particularly well, but the latter is really, really, really not well.
Well, I don't know that I have much to add to that, Jeff, because it was perfectly said. The only thing I would quibble with you about is, you know, we are a deep red state. We do have Republicans in charge and supermajorities everywhere. But that's only been the case for about a dozen years or so. The first, I said this was a four-decade problem. The first 30 years of this problem, the Democrats were in charge. And folks need to remember that. They should take care to remember that. When we're fashioning solutions, I agree with you. We want public safety in this state. And if we're going to have 25,000 people in our prisons, then we need to build more bed space. If Birmingham is going to continue to have 130 murders a year, and, you know, five times that in robberies and assaults and things like that, well, yeah, we're going to have to put people, violent people have to be in prison. That's just how it is. I don't know how you could disagree with that. But, you know, we also need programming that costs money, so that when we do release people back to society, they can, you know, more than 50% can be productive citizens. That shouldn't be acceptable to us, that we're housing people for 6, 10, 12 years and they get out and they don't have a single skill beyond what they had when they walked in. That can't be the way it is. That's not a good investment for Alabamians. So, yes, you are correct. These reforms need to happen. They need to be thoughtful. We need to have experts, not loudmouths. We need to have experts that are involved in that process. I'm happy to contribute. I don't need any money for this. I'm happy to just, I want my state to be safe. My daughter lives here. My wife and my mother live here. I want this state to be safe. My mother-in-law, I got to throw her in. I'll do it for nothing. There's 50 other experts that would do it for nothing. because we care. But if they care enough, they're going to ask the right people, not just the loudmouths.
Last question we'll get you out of here on this, totally unrelated, and I just can't believe this is something that we're talking about, but just kind of a show of how irrational the institutional left is in this country, I suppose. But this idea of a floating abortion clinic in federal waters, and, you know, the Alabama state law is what it is, Human Life Protection Act, that prohibits abortion, except I think in the case of the life of the mother is threatened. But what do you think of this as a way of kind of around these states that have these bans in place?
Yeah, even in San Francisco, they write the law down. You know, they don't follow it all the time. They don't enforce them all the time. But they do write them down to their credit. And if this professor in San Francisco who has this great idea for this floating abortion clinic, if he had taken the time to read the law or maybe called somebody who was an expert in the law, he might have learned that you can't commit crimes in federal or international waters if the host vessel is porting in a certain state. So if you leave from Alabama or Louisiana or Mississippi or Florida, and there's abortion prohibitions in those states that are going to be sort of an end around out there on the water. When you pull back in, everybody who participated is guilty of an offense, or at least those offenses. You can't get around it. If you want to get around it, you're going to have to get around it by convincing your ballot box to have abortions in your state, or to have abortions that are rights that are expanded. It is a democratic right now. It is not a constitutional right. And getting cute with the law is going to fail. They need to spend their time, the people who are pro-choice, spend their time advocating for women's health and the good arguments that people on the left make. By good, I mean, you know, the ones that could be persuasive to folks in the middle. But these radical ideas like this one, the first trip, they're not even, Steve Marshall wouldn't even let the boat go out. He'd have people in handcuffs for an attempt or a conspiracy before they even pulled off the dock.
I mean, it's like going out to, I guess murder would be a little slower. It's 5 miles out of federal, out of federal waters, so, or federal waters, or whatever it may be, or a drug deal, or anything that's against the crime. That's where I'd be like, where do we draw the line at, I guess, is where you'd ask.
Well,
the casinos do it.
Well, no, because casinos do it in the sense that the states permit them to do it, but they have to travel that far. But they have a permit from the state in which they dock to go out into, so far out into the water before they don't just do it. They don't do it without any state authority. The state permits them to travel 5 miles out and then have a floating casino. That's not something you're going to get a permit for in any of those states in the Gulf Coast that I mentioned.
Hey, Jay, we're up against a break here, but as always, you're very kind to make time for us, and let's talk again soon.
Thanks, Jeff. Have a great day.
You do the same. That was Jay Towne, formerly a U.S. attorney for the Northern District of Alabama. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.